Well, good afternoon, everybody, and happy 1st of April, April Fool's Day. But we apparently we're okay this afternoon because it's the afternoon. And remembering from my school days, which is only a few years ago, you're okay in the afternoon. So thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. My name is Jill Russell, and we have a great lineup of guests for you this afternoon. I'm very excited to welcome Colette Dicker of the CDR Collective, who's an independent recruitment consultant, and is going to be talking to us about her love life today. We've then got Tania Gonzo of TNS, and Tania helps small businesses and public organisations use AI and tech in practical ways. She does a lot more than like that. So I know this is radio and you can't see anything, but Tania is sitting opposite me and she does that psychology thing, so I'm really nervous. I'm really nervous. And then we have the lovely Alex Wise, who is from Wise Up Team Building, and they deliver some amazing activities to young people and believe that outdoor education should be accessible to everybody. And I'm so excited to hear more about this. And also Colette today, bless her, because she's a very kind-hearted soul, has bought us all in a Cadbury's cream egg. I've not had mine yet. I've desisted because they can get quite messy. But I think Colette just ate hers. Did you, Colette?
On the way in.
So we've got a lovely lineup for you today. And we're going to be talking about the journey to get us where we are in our business journey. What actually made us start? How do we get here? I always think that's an interesting thing, because there's lots and lots of things that we've most probably done on the way. Or when we, let's go back to school again, you know, what we wanted to do when we was at school and how that has changed. Because I think the entrepreneur journey is so important for business people. And I think when we share it, that makes us more human, more approachable and connections. Obviously, this is the Business Network Show, so we are also going to be talking about networking. Do we do it? Do we like it? Do we want to avoid it? And also what the current trends are in these lovely ladies' sectors, because it's very diverse. We've got support coming in all different ways, and what's actually going on in these industries at the moment. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But first off, if I may, Tania, welcome to the show. I'm going to try and keep eye contact with you. I don't know what these psychologists do, you know, right, watch your body language or anything like that. But you know, I'm so excited to have you on. I know that the connection I have with you is because you was at the Kent Business Show, which seems like a year ago now. I said that to you.
Time moves quickly after those. It's so exhausting on the day, isn't it?
It is. So exhausting on the day. And I know that you was also a speaker, but let's go back a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your business, because I gave the very structured answer to what your business is. But tell me a little bit more about your business.
So I founded TNS Consulting about almost 2 years, two and a half years ago. And that was based on what I'd been doing for the 10 years before that. So I'm a management consultant, a business consultant. My whole career has been going into these organizations and helping them transform in some way or another. New tech system, new office, whatever. So I started TNS Consulting. And then at the time that I started, AI was becoming a bit of a thing. And what I do, which is a bit weird, is I don't like change, but I'm a change manager. I'm a business psychologist. And I love that saying, what is it? Stay close to your enemies. So that's what I do. The things I don't like or I'm anxious about, is that's what I focus on. And it's been a lot on AI transformation. What does that mean? How you can do it properly, moving away from a buzzword. So that's how I started. And it's been a crazy 2 years. It's been lots of ups and downs, you know, and you start doing your own thing. You're like, oh, is this the right thing to have done? Should I have gone back to normal employment versus, like, I just love the person that I've become being at the helm of my own business.
That is so nice to hear that you love the person that you've become. I'm going to delve into that a little bit. Can I ask what made you make the move to become self-employed entrepreneur. What was it? Because you said you was 10 years in corporate. That's, you know, what was it?
I became a mother.
Oh, she doesn't look old enough, honestly.
I had my daughter, and for those who work in corporate, you know that hours can be absolutely crazy. The travel is so much fun when you're 23 years old, but then when you're looking at the rest of your career out of a suitcase, you start to think a bit differently. Like, I actually need to be home a bit more.
Okay.
But then there's an aspect of I've got so much ambition and energy, but the corporate life is not matching up with my ambition and energy. I want to do lots of things. I want to be at the forefront. I want to meet people and have really interesting, like, conversations and projects and a little bit of traveling. Like, I'm okay with traveling, just like not every week. That gets a bit tiresome.
Yeah. So you made the move. Is this the first time that you've had your own business?
Yes, it's the first time.
So that's a big change. You don't like change.
Yes.
How did you use your skills to help yourself?
I think I've just had to learn. So my undergraduate is in business management, but geez, that does not teach you how to manage a business.
It does not.
The theory that we used to cover from the 80s or whenever. So it's just been trial and error. So the business plan I had when I started, I went on this lovely, like, women in business mentoring scheme run by, funded by Nationwide, Herbiz.
Yep.
That was absolutely amazing. Meeting other women and talking through your business plan. So that was a lot of it at first. And then you have that lovely business plan, lots of pages. It was very beautiful aesthetically. And then you go into practice and you're like, okay, clients, I'm ready for you. Just,
where are you?
Exactly.
They don't teach you that, do they?
No, they don't
teach you the outreach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even where people come from, I'm still just trying to figure it out, because you'll do like a big exhibit and you'll be like, oh my gosh, we're going to fill our boots. We're going to have so many clients. And then it'll be crickets. And then you'll do something which is just a small webinar, and you get lots of clients from that one. You're like, what is the exact science? Is it still just showing up consistently? I think
I think you've, from my point of view, I think you've nailed it. I come on this radio show and I always forget to talk about my business, but I'm a business growth strategist. And when you look at doing things consistently, especially depending on your sector, when you're getting business, when your target market is business owners, they need to have that connection with you, that know, like, and trust. And that comes from you showing up and then feeling like they can just come and talk to you. I mean, you're so personable. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're so personable. You're so easy to talk to. And I think I'm easy to talk to, but some of my friends say that actually when I'm out and maybe I'm on a stand or something like that, it's almost like there's a different person, and like people feel that they can't come and talk to me. But so it is that, isn't it? So how you look at yourself and project that. So this change management, I'm so interested in this, because I know with Colette's just started her business. How long have you
three months. So I sort of 5th of January was when I became self-employed.
Nice.
After 40 years of working, you know, not self-employed. Right. And like you, you know, you do that, all your due diligence to set your business up. And then you go, oh, where do those clients come from? How are they going to perceive me now that I'm not supported by a bigger business or a company? How do I support myself? You know, and I did all my, you know, sensible thing. I had my investment capital ready to go. And I did have a client base that I was working with, that I've been working with for 16 years, but no guarantee. But you are right that, you know, you can have a great business plan, putting those things into practice. And actually the admin side of running a sole trading business is much harder than I thought. I mean, I've got a girl coming to, a girl, a marketing expert and an admin girl to come in around on Thursday to help me, you know, just with things on my laptop and things that you take for granted when you work for a corporate company, you just have to do yourself.
Yes,
100%.
Do you find the time management piece slightly challenging?
Yes, definitely. I also find having the energy for it. So some weeks I'll be like, I can do everything. I'm going to do the gym. I'm going to do work. I'm going to do everything. And then other times I just feel a bit burnt out. I just want to go to bed and just like, I don't even want to
cook. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah. I do. So I sometimes sit there and I'll be looking at my laptop. I think I've just been looking at my laptop. Yeah. I've just been looking at the screen.
Well, I think we need to bring Alex in here because I know that Alex's company runs team building exercises for young people and children. But I think we could do with some team building exercises and get some energy in the room. I mean, welcome, Alex. It's so lovely to have you here. What's your journey? Where did I mean? I'm not talking about your journey today to get here. I should just clarify that. What's your journey as of you run this amazing Wise Up team building program for children from primary, secondary, higher education? How did that come about?
So we have been, thank you for having us. That's me, first pleasure. Of all, we have been running for 15 years now, so a bit longer, and quite a different background, I suppose, because not from the corporate sector. We used to work in outdoor centres running all sorts of different activities for young people, so sailing, kayaking, climbing.
Wow. Sounds so much fun.
And it was great, but the thing that we were coming across, we have always seen the benefits that young people get from being outside and being able to experience these different activities, being able to work on themselves and develop their confidence, their leadership skills, realise their strengths outside of an academic environment. And we kept hearing from teachers time and time again that it was brilliant that their students could take part in these programmes, but that it was becoming more and more paperwork to get them off site. The transport costs were rising. It was becoming unaffordable to get as many students involved. And we wondered, well, why can't we take the activities to them? So that's where we started. When we started, it was just myself and my husband. We had one van, we had some different activities, and we went to a couple of local schools to test out whether it would work. And it just went from strength to strength, really. So that was, like I said, 15 years ago, and now we have 10 teams out all over the country.
Wow.
We're operating nationwide, and we feel that there's an even bigger need for it now than there maybe was 15 years ago with all the digital influence now. But yeah, we're still super passionate about getting young people out and getting them to really work on these skills.
Oh, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I love the fact that you take it to them to do. So some of the skills, tell us what some of the activities that you run.
So we run a variety. We run, we focus a lot on team building. A lot of our activities we use as the sort of vehicle to work on different soft skills. So we're working on how they plan, how they work together in different teams. We run bushcraft days. We have sort of a salt course and archery and but all of the different activities all have the same theme, that we're trying to get the young people to find out a bit more about themselves, about their personalities. We do a bit of sort of personality styles in there as well, so that they have an understanding of other people that are within their teams and how they can work together. And it's really just I suppose we're trying to help fill a gap that we maybe feel is increasing in schools when there's so much focus put on achieving academic results. And actually, in the real world, and I'm sure, Colette, you might be able to back this up, but when people are recruiting, they're not, academic skills are one side of it, but they also need to know, well, can that person work with other people? Can they use their initiative? Can they communicate well? And so that's the type of things that we focus on through our programme.
So team building, and as would you call those the soft skills? Is that what you call them in the recruitment industry?
Yeah, I think that would be a great soft skill. And I mean, I think if I met a young person coming to me that had been involved with that, I would be able to see that their confidence was probably higher because they are able to communicate with me. And if I go into a school or an education environment and I talk to young people about getting their CV ready or getting their, you know, getting interview ready, having something like that, if they've already done that, they come with a sense of self-belief.
Yeah.
What age group do you work with?
We work right from reception age right up to doing
reception age.
Wow. Right up to doing
so start them early.
Yeah,
really important.
Tiniest soul. Yeah.
But it's really important, and I think it's just getting outside, getting in a different environment, and it's amazing to see young people excel in different areas, I suppose, and you can see that self-belief developing because perhaps they're not the most academic, perhaps they're not the strongest in a maths lesson. And then when they are outside, they're actually the one leading the team. They're the one making sure that other people are all involved, and then they're getting praised for that. So then they're suddenly like, oh, actually, I'm really good at this. And they've found their niche.
And I think, you know, going back to the day when youth clubs used to be around, we used to be able to go to youth clubs and do lots and lots of different activities and do all of that stuff. And that sort of, you know, declined. And I think this is so important because, you know, back in the days when I used to work in schools and you would see, especially the secondary schools, where you would see in the winter time when perhaps they wasn't able to get out and release some of that energy, especially with the boys, you would then see that conflict starting and those fights starting, and they need to get out and have that energy. And I love that there's, that, you know, I wish we would realise this more in the education system, that it's not all about academia. It's about having those skills and giving that confidence to those young people, you know. So, Tania, I'm going to ask you, what did you excel at school?
I loved maths.
Did you?
I loved maths because I think when I reflect on it, I like bringing organization to chaos, right? So if you have like an equation, just moving things around. Oh my gosh, I loved maths. And a bit of chemistry. Oh my gosh, the chemistry experiments. Oh, that was so much
honestly
fun.
You should see her face. It's absolutely lit up. I have never thought of about excited about an equation in my life. Right. So this is, and you know, we've never discussed it on the radio before, but you know, I'm glad that you like an equation. Now, my question is, was you not going to be in finance then?
I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be in finance. What stopped me? I think I started to realize another side of myself where I like people and I like understanding people's emotions. Why do people make those terrible business decisions? You've all heard them, where it's like 10 people have signed off this decision. Like, how do they get there?
How did they get there? Yeah.
I love that more than maths. And even now, if I've retired from doing any maths, I do it on a calculator. But sometimes if I see numbers that are not quite right, my brain just wants to fix
it. That's so interesting. I mean, that's so interesting. What about you, Colette? What did you excel at school?
So maths was not my thing. It's really interesting because I like numbers and I like patterns. Numbers were a massive challenge for me. And when you have a bad experience with a teacher, and back in my day, you would get yelled at and the board rubber would come across the thing. It was, you know, I'd leave every math class in tears. So I loved English, English literature and reading and geography, French, you know, all of the softer things. And it's really interesting, isn't it, that my career has used, not the music or the dance, obviously, I'm not an actor or a singer, sadly, but all of those, you know, where it's about people and words and engagement and not working solely on your own. So when I was doing like any sort of dance or music or, you know, reading clubs and things, it's all about people. And that has been absolutely the pattern for my career, but not the maths. So I'm in awe of people that are good with numbers.
That are good
it's
with,
not my thing.
Not your thing.
No.
And what about you, Alex? What did you excel at?
So I was actually, we did modern studies, which was about basically a bit of politics and I suppose case studies and things and finding the pros and cons for each side of the argument. So I actually really enjoyed that, and I actually wanted to be a lawyer when I was at school, And so I've taken a completely different path.
You certainly have.
But for the better, I believe. Yeah,
you look very happy, I have to say.
She does look very happy.
Yeah, I don't think I would... I think on hindsight, I don't think I would have made a very good lawyer. But yeah, I mean, I just so passionate about, I think, young people just having that opportunity. So, yeah, that's basically what you've got into.
What you get into. And I think that's, you know, I think between all four of us, I think that passion to help young people is very prevalent. I mean, when I was at primary school, me and my bestie wanted to be air hostesses. And this is in the day when sellotape used to come in a tin. I know. And we used to put our 10p in there and save up. I don't know why we were saving up in a tin. That's part. Anyway, my point is that I didn't become an air hostess because I get really scared of flying. But back in the day when I was at school, you either went to secretarial college or you went to the bank. And so I left and went to the bank. I was bored, silly. It really wasn't the right job for me because you had to be quiet and I'm not quiet. And then I ended up at 18 launching the second darts magazine in the country. And that was very much to do with people. That was very much to do with sport, which I absolutely love. Didn't play darts, but that's by the by. And, you know, actually, when you're, I'm just thinking about that. I'm sitting here talking to you. It is about people. It is about connection. It is about the passion to help put one person in touch with another person who they can help. And I think that is definitely going around this table. That's definitely something that resonates, I think, with all of us.
Common thread, though.
Yeah, common thread and a passion to help young people, you know, open those motorway lanes and do what they want to do rather than be pigeonholed. In fact, I was talking to a very lovely young man, Parker, who is at the studio at the moment, not in our room. And he's 11 years old. And he was telling me this morning about what he's been on the radio. He's got a YouTube channel. He's got a business idea. And I'm like, wow. And this is, we need to listen to young people and give them the respect that they deserve. Alex is shaking her head here. What drives you, this passion? What is it that drives you? You must hear so many stories, see so many beautiful things happen.
Yeah, I mean, we have some, we're only in schools for maybe a day or a couple of days, but there's been so many times where students have really like come up to us and said, oh, this has been the best day. I'm so glad you've come in. When are you coming back? And it's just, and I think we really need to like encourage any young person to focus on what they're really passionate about and not try and, like you say, sort of almost pigeonhole them into this, right, you need to do these subjects and get these grades and follow this path. Because, and I think we don't know what their futures are going to look like. The world's a very uncertain place. And I think it's more important than ever that they're encouraged to do what they enjoy doing and what they feel that they're good at.
And I think, you know, this comes back to you, Tania. You know, we haven't touched on the AI subject very much, but this is very much a young person's field, but it's coming into all of us. You know, our hands up here, I'm using ChatGPT. I said it right. I always get the word. You know, I got family members that use it a lot as of talking to it and doing all that stuff. I work with a lot of businesses in accounting and finance, and, you know, AI and technology is moving at such a rate. You were speaking at the Kent Business Show about this. What's the perception in, let's just say, Kent at the moment about, are businesses bringing AI in? Are they really scared? What are their worries and how can you help them with that change?
I think businesses are using AI. So like using ChatGPT, that kind of chat function, or using it for marketing. So they're using it. But what I think is they're using it for just the tip of the iceberg, for what they could use it for. And for a business, it's a decision, right? So AI can go from, you know, helping you write content to maybe it having an AI voice who answers your calls and then puts it in a team diary, say if you can't answer calls. So a lot of businesses are using it. I think there's a lot of anxiety in terms of like, what do we use? There's so many different ones.
Yeah.
And there's also sometimes it feels like there's a bit too much of a push. You know, I'm a change manager, but I don't like change. And when you tell me something too much, I push against it. But like, for example, like our finance systems like Xero or QuickBooks are embedding AI. Microsoft's got AI Copilot. So it's already embedded in how we do things a lot. But there's maybe that bit of anxiety of like how to use it properly. And then there's another bit, which I don't think we've talked about yet, which is more the data privacy and giving AI the right access to your data or no access at all. So say you have an AI chatbot on your website that you've created for yourself. There's people, like cheeky people in the world, who can then ask the AI chatbot for maybe data that you have in your business. So if the AI chatbot can go in a folder and look up in the FAQ folder to answer, have you made sure that it doesn't have access to another folder, maybe the HR folder, which has staff details? So it's a very tricky space to be, where it's like using AI for a little bit is great and you might want to use it for a lot, but the more you use it, the more risk you open yourself up to. So you have to be really careful, as well as client expectations, right? If I'm a luxury business, I want to talk, and I'm a customer. I want to talk to a human because I'm buying this for how many thousands of pounds? Like, can you not afford a human to just answer my questions?
Yeah.
So there's that perception aspect versus you want to really scale and you just can't scale quick enough, and AI can fit the gap. So it's a big conversation, but
it is a huge conversation. And what you've just explained about the chatbot going into a folder. Mm. Now you've said it, seems so obvious, but you're not going to, if you're new to this, you're not going to know
the security risks
because you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when it comes to change management and AI and bringing that in, we also need, and you know, we won't touch on the subject because it's not relevant, but trust.
Yes.
You know, there's horrendous story come out recently about trust and people using overseas agencies for personal things, and that trust has completely gone. There's nothing there. This is really important because that data protection is so important. It can just floor your business. Oh. It's frightening. So for new businesses, established businesses, actually, I think established businesses must find this really, really tricky. How do you go in and you can have a look at the business and see what the dangers are, where they haven't thought of that? And do you work with suppliers, other companies? Can you provide, say, right, okay, you know, this would be a good company for you to work with for that particular thing. Is that something that you offer?
Yes, we can do. So I've got a business partner who's got a background in governance. So he does a lot on that. But yeah, we can definitely do that. But I think a common cybersecurity principle is the easiest way to get in the door is sometimes when people let you in. So if you think phishing attacks, it's actually your employees opening the door and letting people in. So I think the first thing would be to just face AI head on and say, we can use AI, but on this system that is on-prem, so it doesn't have access to the internet and it doesn't re-upload the data. And you have that conversation, because if you don't tell your employees, they will then, maybe you work with children, right? They will then put the details in and then maybe leave details, confidential details in.
Mm.
And AI can make patterns, right? So if you have lots of conversation, but you leave a bit out each time, after 100 conversations, it could have built a story or profile eventually. So just facing it head on and being like...
Being open and honest, yeah. Colette?
That's really interesting. So I'm doing an introduction to AI in business course. I met a fantastic lady called Naz who runs her own AI consultancy with Jimmy, her business partner. They're called Kiliad, and they are offering me an opportunity to do AI in business. So I hold a lot of data, and I was chatting to her about that and how I could protect the integrity of my data, my candidates, because I get ID, you know, I've taken a passport in. And whilst my cyber security is absolutely tight and I've had to wrap that up very, very tightly, I do hold a lot of information and I do use AI to ask questions about stuff. And I'm very mindful about what I put into a chatbot or something online. So I'm doing a course, an introduction to AI course. Well, I think it's important to be current and you have to go into any new technology with your eyes firmly open. I was chatting with Naz last night actually about the course and she was telling me about the topic and how it can impact my business. But she is doing they're doing some webinars as well, some free webinars, because they're like you, they're passionate about people getting it right and not jumping in, but doing it right from a business process, from a security perspective. Exactly. If they're, you know, building a new team and they've all got access to, you know, AI, it can be dangerous. But the beauty of it, if you do bring it in and do it right with somebody like you and with Kiliad, then you're protecting your business and helping it be secure.
Exactly. Is that something you have to deal with, Alex? Because you were saying that you're now more the operations side. You'd like to be behind the scenes a little bit more. Is this your area that you have to deal with?
Yeah, so I mainly sort of help with put the systems in place and make sure that everything's compliant and everything like that. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's a lot to do. A lot to do and a lot of tick box exercises, but it's very important, isn't it?
And I think one of the hard things with it is when you're changing systems and there's always new things being introduced and you're having to make sure that every element of it that links in, you might think that you're secure, but then someone might have then added a new feature and that then opens up a different door. So,
absolutely. So, Tani, going back to the Kent Business Show when you was on the panel, is that something that you enjoy doing? Is public, because you're saying you don't like change, okay? but then tell us about the speaking. Was that your first speaking engagement? Tell me how that come about.
It wasn't my first speaking event. I think my first one was last year at the University of Kent Business Summit. And I think I'm a bit mixed, right? So call me an ambivert, where it's like...
You a what?
Ambivert, not an extrovert and not an introvert, literally right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
So were they all looking at me like I should know this word? Honestly, ladies.
It's a dating profile word, obviously.
We'll come back to that because we're coming back to your love life. Right. Okay.
Ambivert. One side of me is always signing myself up for things, right? So if someone says, Tanya, do you want to do this? One side will say, oh, of course, yes. I would love to. Oh, speaking here, going there, of course. And then there's the other side, which is like, I must have everything right, perfect and precise.
I think I'm an ambivert.
Yes.
I am.
Because I'll sign myself up and then I'll get there and I get really nervous because I actually don't like talking until I'm talking. So do you get what I mean?
Worse than the action.
The drive down here was very nerve-wracking, but sitting here, I'm actually having fun. So
don't look so surprised. I told you would.
But I think that's what happened. So it wasn't my first speaking gig, but I've realised that I like speaking more than other forms of networking. Because there's so many dynamics. I find it really hard to network when there's like a big room. Imagine you've shown up a bit late to a networking event. There's a room of 50 and everyone's talking already. And you have to break into a group and you've shown up by yourself.
Yeah,
that's my worst nightmare. Versus speaking or sharing my content and pros and stuff like that. I'm fine with that. My LinkedIn, writing my LinkedIn posts, I like it. I like putting my voice out there. But using my mouth in real life, oh.
Isn't that interesting how we all have a very different... So for me, I'm completely the opposite. I'd rather walk anonymously into a room.
Oh, okay.
And that's then so scan scary. The room and see who is having a conversation that I might like to join. I'm very nervous at this stage, but much rather that than sit around a table and have to stand up and do a... Made my mouth go dry thinking about it. It's really interesting though, isn't it? How we all have a different way of approaching our communication and networking But I don't think any of it is easy.
No, it's not. And what about you, Alex? I know you said earlier when we was off air that, you know, networking is difficult for you.
Yeah, I like to be the wallflower. I like to be the behind the scenes, like keeping everything working behind the scenes. And my husband tends to be the face of and doing the networking. He's very good at it. But put me in front of 300 students and I will happily stand up and talk to them. So
that is good, isn't it? I think it's, I would encourage everybody, especially our business owners out there, to really think about what works for you, because there is so much choice out there now. Back in the day when I started networking, it was literally one or two organisations and they were stand up and do that. And, you know, I had the most amazing time, built some great businesses, made some great friends and, you know, travelled the world with it. So that was exciting. But I think now we've got a very different landscape. And for you, Tania, you know, I've trained thousands of business owners on networking. So what I'm going to say is don't turn up late. Turn up early. Then you're the first ones in the room and then you make the conversations. And for anybody that is networking, please don't use closed groups. And what I mean by that is don't close your circle unless you're having a private conversation, which shouldn't be at a networking event. It should be outside. But open up. When you see somebody come in, open up that space, welcome them in, because they could be having a nightmare of a day. Mm. Just a smile. Can I get you a coffee? Just as you would do in your house. That's what I think. And actually, Colette, this is how we met. I forgot that you hated standing up and speaking. Mm. And this is one of the things when we talk about networking, you know, if you can just Google what you actually want and it will come up with different types of networking. So if you don't want to do a presentation that you don't do, and you're amazing round the table, because we must mention this, we met at Synergy networking event, and a shout out to Linda and Bethany, who are doing great things in and around Kent. And Synergy is an event where you can come along. There's open networking. You'll always have your coat taken. They do give it back, by the way. They just don't take it. But you will be given that really lovely, you've just come into my house sort of feel. And then you don't have to do a presentation. You sit round a table. There's questions there if you want to do that. You can talk about your business. You get 3 minutes and it goes around the table, and then you change tables. So you're having that more conversational. And I know you've been to that and you enjoyed that experience.
I really enjoyed that. Yeah, because I hadn't been networking for a really long time because of the, going to the more, not professional groups, but the ones where you've got to pay a membership and things where you are forced to stand up and present. And about 4 years ago, I went to one down in Sittingbourne, and like I knew the guy that was running it, and it came and it was a huge room and all the tables were square. So when I sat down, when it was my turn to stand up, I had like 40 people staring at me who I didn't know, hadn't met them. There was no open networking before. And I just said to Sam, who the guy sitting next to me, I said, I'm really sorry. I absolutely cannot stand up in front of these people. Yeah. And it made me feel uncomfortable. Anyway, he was very sweet and did my presentation. I hadn't been to anything, and I went to Synergy, and it was a very warm welcome. That was the most important thing. And it was such a nice opportunity to sit there and just have that 3 minutes, the little prompts on the table give you an opportunity to practice your pitch. You might not meet somebody immediately there that is going to be a business contact, but it's really good to see what everybody, the smaller businesses are doing, how they're pitching themselves. And also what you can see also around the room is the friendships that have been made from that as well.
Absolutely. It's that, you know, I always think networking is about making meaningful connections for the long term. It's about it's not about going there and selling your business. It is about, what do you do? How do you do it? How do you help people? Really be curious and learn what other people are doing. I mean, this is why this is just the best thing for me, because I really get to hear more about what everybody does. And then my little brain, and it is little, by the way, then goes, oh, I could introduce you to you. Or can we have another chat and let's find out, you know, where we can all help each other. And I think that's what I love about networking. And you know, the Kent Business Show, Colette wasn't at the Kent Business Show because she was in Rome.
I was in Rome.
Okay. Obviously networking.
I was.
Yes. Anyway, we'll come back to that. So she was in Rome and I went there with, and it was a very, very busy event this year. Very, very, very busy. Which was great. Lots of great exhibitors. And there was networking opportunities, all of that stuff for the business owner. It still surprises me how many businesses don't take the opportunity to go. Yeah, there's still a lot that don't. They just don't come out of their comfort zone. But when you go, what's really nice, I think, this is what I did this time. Rather than trying to go around to everybody or do that, I thought, right, I'm gonna five things that I can target. So you've been targeted. No, but that I was interested in. I was like, ooh. What's that? And there's somehow when we bring guests together at the in the radio show, there will be a common thread through something. You get to know something on a much deeper level. When we all bump into each other, or we come and find Alex and we get her out of her office because obviously she's going to be hiding. Yeah, we're going to absolutely remember this because this is a deep connection that you don't get. In many, many places. Would you agree, Colette?
I do, because I went to the, I've never been to a business show like that on my own. I've always had a colleague to go and do that with. But a few weeks ago, I went to the Maidstone business show at one of the hotels, and I did exactly that, Jill. I looked at who was going to be exhibiting and had it on a piece of paper, and I walked around and introduced myself to specifically those people because I wanted to find out more about their business, how they I already knew one of the people by default. But that was really hard to do that on my own.
I'm really proud of you because I know it just takes you so much to do.
It takes a lot, but I met somebody who I'm going to go and have a coffee with next week who's got a vacancy, and he's a really interesting guy and a really interesting business. And I just went and had a chat with him. Now, I wouldn't have met him had I not gone to that, and his business wouldn't have come up in my ideal client. You know, we all have an ideal client, don't we? But it was a good, and I'm sorry to have missed last week because it did look like a really good event.
I'm sorry to have missed coming to Rome. Yeah.
But yes, so I think going to those things, as when you work for yourself and you're on your own, you do have to be a bit more brave. There isn't a security blanket, is there?
No, there's not a colleague to go to. So Alex, coming back to your business, you decided to exhibit at. Yeah. So what? Because your target market is schools and colleges, so this was business people. Tell us more about this.
So it is schools for the team building side. We do also work with corporate companies doing corporate events, because I believe that the skills that we teach are valid for anyone of any age. And when we work with businesses, they find it really valuable to build that trust, I suppose, between their teams and find the different connections that they can have outside of a work environment. And another side, I suppose, is that we really believe that it is beneficial for businesses to be aware of what we're doing, because essentially we are working with their future workforce.
Oh, I like that.
And I think it's, they are telling us what they're, what problems they're maybe noticing when they're recruiting, and where a skills gap is. And then we're trying
to do that, because we've been talking about this on previous shows, and you know, communication is so important, and it's not the young people's problem that we've now got smartphones and we do all of this sort of stuff online, but that verbal communication. I was thinking about it when I rang up both of, I spoke to you and I spoke to Paul at your company, and it was quite weird because I picked up the phone and I rung and I was like, what? But I used to do this all the time. So what the heck, you know, and I'm quite confident in doing that. I mean, back in the day, one of my jobs was to sell advertising on a duty-free magazine. So you had to, that's what you did. Yeah, and I'm sure the same with you, with your candidates. Now we've got young people coming through who are really not given a voice. And I'll go back to Parker today. You know, when I spoke to him, his mum and dad to do the your video team, and they encourage him to speak. And she was saying that like, some of the teachers go, like, you'll know this one because I definitely got this. Oh, they're a bit chatty, right? I don't think we should be shutting that down. We need to have a voice. You know, how are you finding your younger candidates?
Well, when you get a school leaver, and actually I'm working with my friend's son at the moment, and he's 18, so he's done his A-levels. He's really, really smart, and he wants to be an accountant. And he's got really good communication skill because he comes from a good family, and they're a communicative family. But the assessment at the thing was brutal. Like, what they put these young people through, if they're not prepared for that, I'd imagine that would put them off going for a job.
So this is in an
freeze at an interview.
Is this in an accountancy practice?
Yeah.
I think we need to speak because I know quite a lot of them.
Well, I was going to talk to you about that because he's a really lovely young man. I mean, I would employ him. But when I was talking to him about it, talking about the other people in the group, and he said you could really tell the ones that didn't have a lot of confidence to be in a business conversation or any sort of conversation, but they were great with the numbers. So now he said he didn't get the job that he went for, but he said it's created another opportunity. But I do meet people, and I have over the 20 years of being a recruiter. I've identified, and we all of us recruiters, we talk about it a lot, is this lack of confidence and eye contact and being able confidently to present themselves in any sort of situation and understanding how to present themselves online as well. So protecting your social media platform, you know, don't post everything. I mean, it's a minefield for them. There's so many don'ts. I think we sometimes lose track of encouraging the do's.
Encouraging the do's. And again, this thread that's coming through this is very, very important. You know, each one of you lovely guests today have got something so much in common, that communication. And I want to come back to that because I'm sure that Tania can share some top tips with us for that. And I also like to come to you, Alex. We'll have a short break. We're going to have some adverts, but please pop the kettle on, come back afterwards, because we're going to be here. And, you know, we still haven't spoken about Colette's love life. So, you know, it's worth listening to. Okay.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Advertising your business can sometimes feel like you're trapped down a well, waiting for someone to respond. Choosing to market your business with fuzzy logic, you won't just be heard, you'll be seen. We offer website, social media and content creation packages that are fully bespoke to you and your business. And the best thing about it, we're affordable. So stop hiding and boost your digital presence using the power of fuzzy logic. Visit www.fuzzy.studio for more information.
Linda Cloak on the Business Networking Show.
Tired of IT headaches? Slow computers? Security worries? Lost files? Sound familiar? We've got your back. As Kent's leading IT support partner, we keep your business running smoothly, securely and stress-free. Call 0179 5342362 now and get your IT sorted.
Welcome back, everybody. That's most probably not quite enough time to make a cup of tea, but, you know, you can carry on listening. So we're talking about communication and quite obviously how young people communicate. But I think this is something that goes to all ages since we've had COVID and getting back out there. I know myself that it takes a while to refind your confidence to speak to people. But, you know, it is really worth the effort because I think it just can light you up. That communication is so, so very important. So, Tania, is there any, like, Colette was faced with, you know, your profile, your AI. What's your top tips for doing things right? What should we be doing and what shouldn't we be doing?
In terms of communicating?
Mm.
Oh, so I actually had a story when I started working. I had a manager who would tell me, you know, these are the list of people to talk to. And she would look at me and be like, why aren't you calling them? Because I was never, ever call. Like, I would never use phone calls. And I think the top tip here is exposure therapy. Like, just do it anyway. So over time, I did lots of phone calls and I just put myself outside of that comfort a lot. And that's where it got me. But then also, I think sometimes just sign yourself up for things and see how you feel on the day. Mm. So if an opportunity comes, I'll say, yes, of course, that sounds lovely. I'll do it.
Like you did with me. Yeah, I'm in.
Yes, exactly. And just be a bit more optimistic and then practice and prepare. Like before I talk, I have a cheat sheet that I didn't print out today, but I normally have a cheat sheet, a couple of pages, right? That A, reminds me how to say where to find me, reminds me of what I do. I need to remind myself of my own elevator pitch. And it reminds me of like key things, like if I'm talking on business psychology theory, like you mentioned, I'm a business psychologist, but I forget. Like if I'm nervous, I'll absolutely forget everything, including my own name. So exposure therapy, maybe a cheat sheet just to read before to remind you who you are and what you're there for, and have a bit of fun. I think I've had a lot more success where I don't come in with like a pre-agreed KPI for this session, where I just come in and I'm like, I'm just going to make connections and have fun. Like it's a nice sunny day.
Yeah.
It's a lovely, lovely venue. Let me enjoy this.
Yeah. And I think that thinking about all of the things that you do know that you do share and having that confidence. I love the cheat sheet idea. I've actually have my book here, and I actually wrote today that I need to mention my business because I always forget, because you just get so engrossed in what you do and how you do it and other people's conversations. And I think that's right. I mean, going back to the telephone, because it is, I think it's going to be a more important tool than we realise. And when I say telephone, I mean talking on the phone. And I think for our young people, it would be really good for us to, as parents, as aunts, as grandmas, is to have phone conversations, and ones that do not show you the video, so that they can just get used to active listening. And because active listening when you're on the phone is very important, because not every business wants to be on a Zoom call or but again, I think our young people should be taught how to use Zoom, short Teams, all of these different things, so they feel a little bit more confident in what they're doing. And that's just practice makes perfect. I mean, Alex, what do you think about, I mean, communication? You've said with the team building activities, obviously they're communicating verbally or visually, as I've been doing here, throwing my arms about.
Yeah, and it's probably one of the biggest skill that we try to work on throughout our days. We work on communication through a variety of different methods. It's interesting you mentioned the active listening, because that is something that we talk about on our days, about you might look like you're listening, but you're actually hearing what that person is saying.
Have you met my husband? Oh, he's listening. Well, maybe he's not. Are you active listening?
And it's just how they interpret. Like we talk about quite often on our activities, that when they're giving instructions to people, and how you think you might be saying something clearly, but that could mean something completely different to the person that you're explaining that to.
Yeah, so what you've said is not necessarily what they've heard.
100%. Yeah. And so we talk a lot about that, about how different people learn in different ways. You might communicate with one person through words and language. You might communicate with someone else through pictures and videos, and how different people's strengths are in different areas. So a lot of our, we sometimes take away, like we use blindfolds so that they're having to verbally communicate, or we might say that some people in the team, if they're particularly vocal, that they aren't allowed to talk in that activity.
She's looking at me. She's looking at me. I'm getting the side eye.
And then it allows and that allows everybody the opportunity to speak up. And again, that's sort of looking at different people's strengths and weaknesses and how they work on it. So lots of different, we try to use lots of different vehicles to work on those communication skills. But as you mentioned, the smartphones and everything, they are taken away from.
It's so easy to send a text, isn't it?
It's so easy
without, especially for a young person. And if they're not a confident verbal communicator, it's a really easy way for them to communicate. But is their message being misconstrued? Are they saying what they really want to? And there's horror stories out there about young people getting in so much trouble for sending an, you know, a message that is the wrong type of message. So practicing that, it's so valuable.
It's absolutely crucial. And I, you know, I'm so pleased that you do corporate as well, because it is so needed, because we've got young people coming in. I've got two of the oldest grandchildren. They're both in apprenticeships. And again, it's how they communicate with not just their peers, but older people. Yeah. Who are, you know, as they say, oh, it's like talking nan. You know, when you read one of my messages, it's like they're not spelt properly and they're all the way. It's like, oh, can you read this? Can you read nan? Can you read mum? That's what they say. I know they say it about me. But it's true, because I'm used to talking. I'm used to picking up the phone and talking. And so when we're talking about coming into corporate or work experience, or I'm so proud we've got so many young people coming into the entrepreneurial space and starting up their own businesses. I mean, it's amazing. So we need to be here as business owners, supporting all of this too, and accepting. And I always say, you know, please, business owners, volunteer, go into schools, go into colleges, share your skills. You know, do some of the interview techniques and things like that. So, you know, to do that, I must ask, because you said reception year.
Yes.
So what do reception years get up to?
They still do the team building challenges. sometimes, I mean, they're very, very, very sweet when they're doing them. And there can be lots of high emotions with them. But again, they're just learning how to share,
how to share, take turns.
And I suppose for them, they're very early in developing their language. So it's how to communicate with each other at that young age. They know they're very strong minded in what they want to do, but they have to try and share that idea with teammates. So they do things like they have to use pipes to get a ball from one end to another. And if they drop it, they have to start again. So they're dealing with frustration. They're learning how to manage their emotions when they're in that team environment. So they're doing lots of different, and their activity, they have to, every time they complete a challenge, they get a clue to solve. It's almost like Cluedo, where they Kevin the llama has gone missing and they have to solve who took him and where he's gone.
Oh, so do I. It's like children's taskmaster.
I really want to have a go.
I really like the idea of it.
I really love that. And you know, you just verbalising that and telling us that, I can envision, and you said the frustration and all of those emotions that, and also mum and dad's not around, and then they've got to deal with that. It's a really hard challenge, isn't it? It's a really hard challenge to do. But it's so good that the schools have got that opportunity to offer this, because it is, you know, it is so important. And when you go on to corporates, you know, what do you get them to? Do you see frustration
it's
there?
It's the same.
Competitiveness?
Yeah, I would say it's the same. We're working on the same things. It's just delivered at a different level. So they still get frustrated. They're really competitive. They're always trying to find the loopholes in the tasks. and again, what we do with all of our activities is trying to relate that back to that everyday environment. So quite often you'll find that you'll do a task and that will really pull out. Well, we really struggled when the leader was taken out because there was no direction within the team. So it's then in a work environment. If that happens and that leader steps out, who is the second in charge? Who steps in and who rallies the team together? So we're taking it back into that work environment.
So they're having the fun, they're having the task, and then you're bringing it back into real time, how they can use that skill within that team environment, which is great. Tanya, you was nodding away there, and you know, this business psychology and all of that team structure. Where do you find, for you as a new business owner, because you're 2 years in, so congratulations, that's amazing. What's your idea? What's a good referral for you? Who do you want? What sort of companies do you like working with, and where do you feel that your I always talk about having a joyful business, working with people that you really enjoy working with. Where is that for you? What type of sector do you like?
At the moment, a lot of my experience has been private sector. So I like organisations, let's say about medium size, where the chain of command is not too big. You know, you don't have to talk to 10 different people, and they have a real passion about the new change, or they see that they need to do it properly. So like a really people focused business.
Okay.
I think a lot of businesses say sometimes they just lack trust, right? And you're having a symptom, but the cause is actually something completely different. So just a business that's really passionate about looking after their people, and they're going through a change, they want to explore like the new technology or the new office change or the new merger.
So mergers and that type of change environment. And would it normally be the MD of that company that you would be introduced to?
Yes, the MD or the operations director, or even the program manager, so someone who's running the program of work. So like my most recent client has been like this lovely lady who works for the International Trade Center. So she's got a massive program to run, but she's got an aspect of training, AI training to deliver to people. And that's where I've jumped in to help, but also done like culture change where, you know, you're a new leader, or you're an older leader in the organization, but you're having teething problems and you don't know what's actually happening. Maybe you're losing really brilliant staff and you don't know what's actually causing it. So I'll go in and I'll be almost like a therapist, and I'll like look at the list of people in the organization, randomly pick like 10. And I'll be like, come on, let's have a coffee with one of them. And then they talk me through their experiences. And then I do like a thematic analysis. So I'll say, these are the key themes, the things that are painful in your business. So you've got, for one of them, when I worked at, for National Highways many years ago, right? One of it was these people have extreme knowledge, right? A brilliant civil engineer. But in terms of making a decision, they have to ask three people above them, of which they are actually able to make that decision, and that demoralizes them. That makes them feel like they don't know what they're doing. And the three people thinking, I've got so much work because I've got to keep reviewing this work that I don't need to review. That's an easy
pain point. I mean, honestly, I can imagine like being in a corporate thinking, oh, I've got to go and have a coffee with somebody that I don't know. And then you meet Tania and you would just be drawn in because you've got such a way of explaining things. And we should have you on video because she's using her hands and there's this smile and she's just reeling you in. She's going to get all your secrets.
You're
out.
In the right job, I think.
Yeah, I think you're really in the right job. Yeah. You're really in the right job. And so do you go in on a project basis?
Yes.
Yeah, so you like the project basis. So how do... she hasn't got a cheat sheet here, so she's going to have to remember this. How do people contact you? What's the best way to, you know, are you on LinkedIn? Have you got a website? Tell us a little bit about you.
I'm most active on LinkedIn, so it's sending me a connection and a message that helps. I've also got a Calendly link on my LinkedIn, so you can literally just put time with me. And it links the diary because don't you hate that little diary dance when you're like, are you free Monday? It's like Battleships, isn't it? Are you free like on Monday at midday?
The diary dance, well, she's had that in her dating. It just comes up. The diary dance. I love that. But, you know, this is where LinkedIn is so great, isn't it, for connection and being able to do those sorts of things and collect that. But we should say, Tania, you're Tania Gonzo, G-O-N-Z-O. And they can connect with you on there. Please do, because if you might remember earlier, she said she liked posting on LinkedIn.
What do
you share? Is it all business or is there a little bit about you?
It depends. I think with the about me, it gets a bit boring because I don't really do new things. Like I did a flight lesson last year and I wrote about that. That was quite fun.
You did a flight lesson. What did you, was it a simulator or was you?
A
real plane?
Yeah, a real plane. Because I lived near the aerodrome just for fun. So I live near an aerodrome.
Right.
And essentially I watched these planes come off every day. And I was like, I want to fly. My turn, please. And I went and I did my flight lesson. And then he was like, do you want to have a go? And I was like, no, thanks. Because essentially the steering wheel, it's not like a car. You know, when you turn a car steering wheel, it doesn't move that much. Mm-hmm. But if you turn it in a little Cessna, you'll be upside down.
In a little Cessna.
Just basically a red arrow.
Yeah, she just dropped that, like Cessna. Yeah, just kept... like, that's just an ordinary word I use every day. Oh, yeah, I've just flown a Cessna.
It was very scary, and you get very far. Like, it was only like...
you get very far.
It was only 40 minutes, and I could see the water, and I was like, is that France? And like, yeah.
No. Oh, I love that. It's such like, a lovely story.
I can actually leave the country, so sometimes like, I do write about that, but I don't do that many interesting things, so maybe, like, once in a while. Most of it is just, like, business psychology theories that have just, like, hit out at me this week, or... oh, I did a bit of series on like movies I like what we can learn from Mean Girls about belonging. I love that movie.
So, but what are your hobbies?
I love reading. I love writing. I would like to write a novel this year. I don't know what about, but I'd love to write one. And I like swimming. I really love swimming.
That's lovely.
And when TNS Consulting is doing much better, I'll go back to those flight lessons. But It's a lot.
I'll have to put you in touch with one of our daughters. Her youngest daughter, Marie, she's actually a bookkeeper and has had her own business. She loves numbers. I don't know where she gets that from because it's definitely not me. And she's got two young boys, and she's just finished her 18th saucy romance novel that she writes. Mm. I think she's going to get me wrong here. It's about 2,500 words a day.
Wow.
She writes as well as doing all of that, but she absolutely loves it. And she's in the position now where she can have author days to write that. So we're not allowed to read them. But
okay. Yeah, okay.
She's on LinkedIn. I'll give you.
I'll give you that.
But I just, you know, this goes back to the freedom that we can have now when we come into the space of being an entrepreneur and having a business. It is for you to choose, isn't it? It is for you to choose what you do. We've all got 24 hours in the day. We need to choose what we want to do so that we feel good about that. And
you've achieved something, exactly. That you've moved forward with something. I think that's probably been my biggest challenge, is that time management piece, because that's always been an issue for me, that doing a certain task at a certain time. Where I've worked when I work in London, it was a very reactive, creative environment. So whilst it was a planning role, it was a very reactive. I was reacting to a customer's request and then troubleshooting. Then in recruitment, it's completely the opposite side. It's much more proactive. But 20 years in, that is still one of my biggest challenges. And certainly from running my own business, my to-do list now it's long, but what I don't do is give myself a really hard time if I haven't done it.
Yeah.
Because
think
then
I'll be gentle.
I'm setting myself up to fail again the next day. I just think, okay, tomorrow's another day. I achieved this. And I think it's important to, especially when you work for yourself on your own, to acknowledge your small wins.
Yes. And actually, that's a really good link, because I want to explore a little bit of wins, because Alex is behind the scenes, so she says. But when I had a little look, I've written them all down. So you was put forward last year for Businesswoman of the Year, Best Medium-Sized Business, Best Small Business Award, which I think were all Kent Business Awards, yeah? And then something called the King's Award, which I want to ask you about. So... I know that you like, she's squirming here because she's like, I don't want to talk about this. But do you know what? This is so important, because there was a great post today on LinkedIn by Sandra Garlick, MBE, and she was given her MBE for promoting women in business. And I was very fortunate to go to an event last year where she was a headline speaker and got to meet her. And I think what she put today was that putting yourself forward for an award feels really, really strange.
Indulgent.
Yeah. Getting nominated for an award feels really, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Winning an award and then going, oh, what have I got to do with it? So I think, Alex, you are the perfect person to speak about that. Tell us about that journey and how it made you feel, and I don't want to make you feel, I feel that you feel uncomfortable because I can see you sitting there, because I'm like, oh my goodness. But this is exactly what other people need to hear. So tell us about your story with those?
I mean, like I said, I like being behind the scenes. I don't like the spotlight on me. But like you said, it is important to sort of show other people and other businesses that and what we've achieved.
Yes.
And I suppose to put like almost get be proud of what we're doing and the impact that we're having and have that recognition. And if you don't put yourself forward for those things, then people aren't just going to come knocking on your door and necessarily ask you what you've been up to. So I think it is really important. I'm not going to sit and say that I massively enjoy it, but it does feel good when, for example, when we were shortlisted for like the Kent Businesswomen and the Medium Business of the Year, because it is just that recognition. And I think, like you were saying, sometimes when you are working for yourself and by yourself, you don't often get that because you're maybe focusing on all the things that you need to do and not necessarily what you have already achieved. So it is a nice thing to do.
It is a really nice thing to do. And tell us a little bit about the King's Award. What's that? I hadn't come across that before. Obviously, I know who the King is.
So that's an award for innovation. And I think for us, we're really proud of the product that we have. It's something that we've sort of built for ourselves, and we put in for it because it is very new. We don't feel like anybody else is delivering what we're doing in the same package that we're delivering it. So we wanted to put ourselves forward for it. We didn't win it on this occasion, but we are going to try again and see if we can in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is it, isn't it? It's not always. It's putting you through that process, putting you through that. Why are you pointing at me, Claire?
Well, because you're nominated, aren't you? Isn't there something coming up?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Colette.
Thank you, Jill.
I got, it's going to be announced on the 18th of May. I was nominated, I think it was February, complete shock. So I ignored it. I was like, that can't be me. No, it's not me. And then I kept getting emails. And it was me. I'm pleased to say I've won it, but I can't share what it is.
Oh, of course you do.
Oh, well done, but we will be doing that on the 18th of May.
Congratulations.
And thank you.
And
I work with a lovely community of bookkeepers and accountants. So a big shout out to the Six Figure Bookkeeper. And for that community, they hold annual awards. And this is very interesting because that community of finance professionals tend to want to be behind the scenes. They have chosen what they want to do because they want to do the detailed work behind the scenes. They don't want to put themselves forward. There's a very small percentage of them that do. But for the rest of the matter, so to get them to put their self forward for an award is really hard. So in their community, they can start doing that and start learning that process. Now, what I have found is really interesting is the fact that once they've been nominated, even if they don't win or once they've won, they can use that social media to do all sorts of things. And it brings open doors for other interactions. Did you find that? Did you find people were saying congratulations or I didn't know about you or I want to know more? Did that work for you that way?
Yeah, we did. I feel like we've developed a much bigger presence due to the sort of media off of the back of the awards, which again is always something that's a very positive thing to come out of it. And it definitely does open doors. It's a networking opportunity in itself, I think, going to the award ceremonies. And it's great to just see what other businesses are doing. And it's great to meet other people and have those conversations. Because I think you learn a lot.
You learn a lot. And, you know, just talking about award ceremonies, talking about networking events, talking about going to a show. I'm very clear on this. The best way to do this is it's all in the preparation. It is about knowing where you're going, what you're doing, what you're wearing, where you're parking, all of those things so that you can show up as the best you without any hiccups on the way. And then, this is my top tip for when you're at an award ceremony or a dinner, find out straight away as you go in, who is on my table? Yeah, because you know that you're going to speak to them when you're sitting having dinner.
Yeah.
Go and make sure that you're speaking to the people that you need to speak to, but as well, making sure that you're open to everybody in the room and you're making them feel welcome. And then it is all in the follow-up. It is all in the follow-up, because if you do that within the next 24 hours, then people go, ah, yeah, while it's still in your head. So when I spoke to Tanya on the phone, I was like, ah, Kent Business Show. And I said to you, it seems like a year ago. And he was like, oh, it was only last week. Yeah. And because we'd had the weekend. And it's important, because then it's fresh in your mind and then people will remember what that's about. But I think we're seeing more awards coming through, which is great. We've got to put ourselves out there as business people and do this stuff. Put ourselves out there for speaking engagements. You know, I love to do speaking. I know Tanya loves to do speaking. Maybe we can get Alex and Colette doing a little bit more of it as they go along.
It's really important for me. And you know, whilst I'm a recruiter, I do a lot of careers coaching. And what's really important to me is understanding the psychology of how somebody approaches finding a job.
Yeah.
I met with a candidate, prospective candidate yesterday, who's, you know, in the latter years of his career, so completely the opposite end of the scale, but had worked in the city for 25, 30 years and approaching the job market is quite daunting for him. So going back to that, I'm quite interested, apart from talking about my recruitment business, is to maybe find the confidence and the platform to talk to people about how to engage with the job market, how to successfully put a CV together, how to present yourself online, how to attend an interview. So I'm kind of building up to that,
getting
that confidence to go to a networking event or something and be able to do that. And that would push me out of my comfort zone, but it's, you know, I'm 3 months in.
And I think this is the great thing about the journey of being entrepreneurs. When you most probably you reflect now, Alex, because you've been in business a little bit longer, where you started, where you are now, all the things that you learn on the way. And I know, Colette, from like speaking to you, I know how passionate you are about doing the right thing in the right way. The integrity, the honesty, the care that you put in is second to none. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. And how you talk, well, it is, and how you talk about your candidates, and how you talk about and have made those relationships with the businesses that you work for. That trust is so much. You don't just put anybody forward, you put the right people forward. And I know, have you got any job opportunities to share with us at the moment?
I've got a really complicated one at the moment, which I really love. So they're a really nice business. Well, they're quite a new client. I've placed a couple of people with them, but they work in employee benefit schemes and group pension schemes with businesses, and they need a group risk and healthcare consultant. Now, it's a tough job in that there isn't thousands of people in the local market. I'm going to put it out there because there are people maybe listening that do know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a group risk and healthcare consultant where you would be working with SMEs up to corporate businesses, and you'll be working with the HR team or the managing director to design the employee benefits. So when you offer somebody a job, the benefits package that they get, they will design that. It sounds simple, but actually you've got to go to market. So you've got to talk to the pension provider, the healthcare provider, the risk provider, and you've got to put that package together, and you've got to make sure that compliant and it's, you know, the due diligence with the company ethos and what they want to be presented with. So I really want to place this role because I like the business a lot. They're a smashing team.
Where are they based?
They're based in Sittingbourne.
So is it, does this person need to work in Sittingbourne or travel to Sittingbourne?
It's 2 days from home on a Monday and a Friday. The whole team go in on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday because they've got a team culture there. That's really important. it is slightly rural, so it's a little bit tricky. You have to be prepared for a bit of a commute. It's on, you know, it's on just slightly on the outskirts of Sittingbourne. Career development, they pay, you know, the salary is competitive. The benefits package, as you would expect,
is really very good.
But it this is a role. Somebody isn't sitting at home not doing this role. Somebody's in that job.
Okay.
So there's that one.
Somebody is doing that, yeah.
And then I've got a bilingual salesperson, so English and an Eastern European language sales role in logistics and supply chain. So it's an outbound sales role, but again, a nice company established. They're a new client, which I picked up from a telephone call, spec call that I made in.
Love that. Love that. We love the telephone, don't we, Claire?
Yeah, I do sometimes. So, yeah, so there's a couple of...
Are they based?
They're based near Folkestone.
Okie doke.
Yeah, so it's quite diverse, my desk at the moment, but I've placed somebody today, so I've made a
congratulations.
Client and a candidate happy just on the way here.
This is fantastic. You're a new business, and you know, we spoke right at the beginning. It takes that time to get that funnel in, people in the funnel coming out. So how do people connect with you? So if you're looking for a job or you're looking for an amazing recruiter, how do they click?
So the CDR Collective, I've got my company page on LinkedIn. I've also got my own professional page, so Colette Dicker. I've got a website.
Ooh, she's done a little peek.
I need new photographs.
I've been on the website. I went on it yesterday. Yeah.
So contact me through that. And my mobile number is my mobile number. So if people want to text and have a chat and have a coffee. So I'd love to hear from some new people. But yeah, a bit like you, the target market for me is the SME, medium-sized business that are, you know, looking to hire, you know, 4 or 5 people a year.
But this is where connections are, isn't it? It's you know, we all know people. It's just when you're putting it forward and understanding somebody else's business and actually what the synergy is between everybody. It's not very different.
No,
there's opportunities. You know, when you've got clients or when you've worked with clients, you've got that deep connection. So you know when it's right to put somebody forward for, it might not be your role, you know, to help out with things. And, you know, it's very, you're just over three months in, you know, that's good. We have to think about this in a sector basis, don't I? I always go back to the florist. If you're a florist, then you'll make your first sale because you'll sell some flowers, you'll sell a bouquet. But when you're doing some of the things that we're doing around this table, it's not quite that quick. It is building those relationships.
Well, not everybody needs a recruiter. Not everybody needs a change manager. Mm. And not everybody needs that. So your market is, although it's wide, the prospect customers are wide, it's about getting your value proposition across to them. And that does mean picking up the phone.
I reckon we're about the same. So, like, you can try and do without a change manager or try and do without a recruiter, but maybe the quality of what you get may be different, but you could get a good enough job done. So it sometimes feels like a added extra, or like, let's make this happen properly. Like, I've had a client where they brought in a whole new system, right? And then at the last minute, they're like, who's going to train them?
Yes,
I do.
Yeah.
But they hadn't considered it at all. Mm. And a change manager would have sorted that straight away.
And I think that's that. But that's the other thing. It's about the education process. Yeah. And that's why the business shows are so important, where people can go and listen to the experts and actually understand what a change manager is and how it's helping them understand what is applicable for your business. How could I help you? What are the things that you could come up with? Because it is, as you say, we've talked about bringing AI in, which is massive. But a new system, a new level of management. So the growth, I mean, you know, when we talk about, well, I talk about growth a lot. When you're talking about growth, the companies that grow very quickly, it's a very hard process, especially if you've got, as me and my brother was talking about today, because we're both control freaks, especially if you've got a control freak at the top who wants to do everything and doesn't, you know, I'm very lucky I work with a VA, but working with a VA at first was hard. How do you like, so you've got the control freak at the top and then they're bringing in another team. I was talking about this the other day because this was a very interesting conversation. So they were going back to the agricultural revolution where everybody did everything, but they had a period of time. So you had the first two stages, they'd planted the seeds, but then you had a period of time where that farmer couldn't do anything because the seeds were in the ground. Now, how is it he was explaining this was that's AI. Yeah. So step back, almost like let you see what can AI do for you? Get the experts in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're involved in the latter two stages as of like reaping the benefits of what that is doing. And AI can do so much, but it's very business specific, which I always have trouble saying. So how would you go in, you meet somebody that thinks they want a change manager or has no idea what you do, and how do you then communicate the benefits, find out the benefits?
Oh, that's a good question. So normally I try and ask like about the pain points. So what's your process? Like, how do you deliver what you do? So how do you grow your plants? And then I find out the pain points, and then we think about fixing the process or fixing the pain points with technology. Because sometimes there's a thing that's a bit tricky. So there might be like our reporting is very hard every month. So we have to do this really long-winded format or really long-winded template. You could use AI to fix that, but maybe there's something wrong in the way that you are collecting like data or managing your inventory. Maybe that we need to fix that, and that will make the reporting easier. So it's about finding out what the whole process is end to end. So business analysis, and then picking out what we can fix, quick fixes. I think using my like psychology brain is never overwhelm yourself. Like, I think that's what we do all the time. Like, I'll have a long list and that just inspires procrastination. Like, fix one thing. When you're done, fix the next best thing and the next best thing, the next best thing, until it feels good enough, because it will never feel perfect.
And are you a tech geek?
I would say no, but sometimes I surprise myself, actually. Like, if I find a problem, like, what did I do? I made my own custom AI agent and I was like, I must do this. And like, I think I pulled an all-nighter just to do it because I had to fix that problem. So sometimes I'll do it, but other times I'll be like, what's the cloud? And like, is there rain there? Like, it depends.
I like that. What's the cloud and is there rain there?
Yes,
she's just slipping in these little... We'll come back to your rainy cloud in a minute. but this is really interesting because the technology that's coming through so fast, I'll go back to, you know, we've got Making Tax Digital coming in, which is going to affect thousands of business owners, thousands of landlords, and they're not ready, those business owners, landlords, not ready for it. And all the big tech companies are bringing in MTD stuff, and people have got to learn it and got to do that and put that into place. And that has knock-on effects for all business owners, doesn't it? You know, how they are doing, how they're recruiting, what they're thinking about. It's a big change.
Yes, it is.
It is a big change. You know, we've got some big companies out there that I was talking to an accountant the other day who I did not meet at networking, but that had contacted me, and it was like, MTD, what's that? And I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. So yeah, you're going to definitely be in demand because everybody's just trying to bury their head in the sand and think it's not going to happen, but it definitely is. And, what sort of tech do you use? I mean, are you got your operations and things like that? I mean, you've got a lot of people on the ground, a lot of teams, a lot of. Do you enjoy that?
Secretly, yes.
That's okay.
I like problem solving, so, and I think that's a big part of my job. So we like to think that we're probably not the most tech savvy, but we are probably using a decent amount for our industry, because our industry is obviously very people focused. It's a service industry. We're out working on the ground, but behind the scenes, we're trying to implement a lot more automation and systems that can help make our office team's life a bit easier and a bit and manage the workload a bit more for them.
Yeah, and I think as you grow and scale, what started as a good system for you at the beginning is not now. And we're just going through with one client that they're changing a lot of their systems because the tech starts to cost a lot of money. So it start off and it's, you know, $9.99 a month. Yeah. And then you're growing or you've grown your community and now you have to up your Zoom and you have to up this. And all of a sudden it's a massive amount of money. We're just changing from that over to something called HubSpot, which is a very interesting change process, a very interesting change process. But once it's done, it is going to be so much better. And although the investment is huge, in the long term, getting rid of all those other things. And that's where so many communities, online businesses, anybody that's using tech, and I'm sure you'll say this because, you know, you've had to all of a sudden come from the corporate background where you had it all. And now you're looking at, all right, as a business owner, what do I need to invest in? Where do I go? Did you find that difficult?
I think that's probably been the biggest learning curve because I don't need lots of stuff, but I do need, you know, insurances and job boards and a CRM and an accountant and somebody to help me with some marketing. But the CRM system, so I've just signed yesterday because I need that for security as much as anything. Yeah. I need it for candidates sending me a CV. That needs to be somewhere, not on my desktop and in my cloud with rain. it does need to be somewhere that I can take it off my desktop and everything then is tracked into the job board. But actually, it's actually linked to HubSpot. So you say that it's called JobAdder. And the guy's been, you know, when you get a really nice person on the phone that's selling you something, but they're selling it directly to you,
yeah,
for you, to benefit you. He was really great. And so I've signed up for that, and that's going to save me so much time.
Yes.
In how I navigate when, you know, if I get a vacancy, how I upload that information, all the conversations I'm having with the candidate and with the client. So technology, that's been an interesting one, and linking them all together.
Yes, does one piece of technology flow with another piece? It doesn't, and that's the selling point for a lot of them, isn't it?
They don't like to talk to each other a lot of the time. That's what we found.
I find that really hard when you've got to do another job and another bit of data entry.
Yeah, then it should all flow, and that's automation process. That's where you definitely come in. You make that. Oh, this is how this works. You need this one and what have you. And it is an investment, isn't it? The business needs to make that investment to get things right, be more profitable in the long term, happier staff.
Yes, it does. It does. And even just to keep up, I think I recently ran a session with Enterprise Nation where I literally ran through how to automate it. And I'm running quite a few sessions on that. And yeah, it's brilliant. So you can take it from having a AI chatbot answer the calls to then writing in your monday.com, for example, and task for you to do. So instead of having to do all those manual touch points where you have this salesperson talk to this person, operations then talk to this person who actually delivers the work, there's lots of automations that you can do. And some systems don't like to talk to each other.
I mean, I can remember back in the day when you would CRM systems first come in and databases came in, and that's how you would track your sales. And now, you know, literally I can have a booking comes in, it's automatically there, it's there in front. I've got two screens, I'm so proud. I've got two screens.
I'm about to get my second screen.
Oh, I know, it's a game changer. And then you go from that, you put your computer on in the morning, you know exactly what you're doing, what that call is about, you follow up the emails, you know, follow up emails sent, the reminder nudge is sent, that flow of emails that just go out. I mean, it's wizardry. Yeah, look, I know you loves it.
Like, having like the first draft of an email response based on like what you know, instead of having to draft the email from scratch, like, hi, so-and-so, kind regards, just like having a draft and you just click approve.
Yeah, rather than that, rather than typing it all out. Yeah, typing it all out. Alex is smiling away here because she likes.
That's my dream.
That's your dream.
That's what I do day to day is working on that stuff. So I'm a bit of a geek about it.
And I forgot to ask Alex, so where actually are you based? Because I know you work sort of UK wide, but where do you have an office? Do you work from home?
Yeah, so we're based just near West Malling, and our team sort of travel from there and then travel nationwide. So they're very often on the road, staying at hotels wherever the schools are that we're working with.
And the corporates. I mean, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, is the website the best way to have it look?
Yep. So we've got wiseup-teambuilding.co.uk, and also on our social media. So we've got @wiseupteam on Facebook and Instagram. And then the corporate side is wiseup-events.co.uk.
Yes, I found you and I linked you. I couldn't find you personally because you're hiding. But I did that. And there's lots of lovely things on your website and, you know, what you do and how you do it. And I think this is what a good website can give you. It can give you a taste of the culture of the company. And I think the culture is such a key thing. Would you agree with that? The culture of a company and how that is. And do you find that the those companies that value the culture are more likely to bring somebody in as an expert to look after their clients?
Yes, I think culture is everything, especially if you have like a service-based business where your employees are the face of the business. How they keeping that knowledge or having that employee give the best of themselves and not like be really snarky to clients. That's really important. And I also think belonging is like the most important thing. So my favorite like theory of motivation is like Deci and Ryan's self-determination theory. And a key part of like motivation is just feeling like you belong, feeling like you're part of something and feeling like when you come in, like this is just like you don't have to be someone else or something else. Mm. So I think those cultures are so important and they bring so much growth and they foster so much freedom and so many good ideas. Like you wouldn't put yourself out there in a business where you don't feel like you belong. So it's really important. And then, yeah, being able to ask consultants for help is great. Like if that's a main priority for you.
Mm. And you know, this is one of the things I talk about with owners of networking organizations. It is the culture. What is the culture of your organization? Why are people going to come? Who are you asking? Who are you attracting? And who are you caring for? And I love that. Where what you said, the first thing, if the culture's right, then people can come in and feel that they can be their self, feel safe to do what they want. And they are very different cultures from different organizations. There's something for everyone. I'm very fortunate on the 5th of November to be lead sponsor for the Sisterhood Live 2026 up in London, which is for female entrepreneurs. And that is a very safe space for female entrepreneurs to come together and discuss all of the things that go around that. And that's not to say that there aren't other events where therefore mix for men, etc. But it was, for me, that was a really important decision to make for my business about who do I really want to engage with? What is my, who do I help the pain points with? Who do I, yeah, and I know about it because I'm a woman, so it's quite interesting. You know, but you take that. But all of my networking career has definitely been in mixed environments because I didn't want to not deal with both sexes. That's absolutely fine. But then I've been through so many different businesses. You know, I've brought up 5 children, which is great. They're all entrepreneurs. But my business experience is very different to any of yours. It's very much, right, where are they in their school career now? What time have I got? What business do I need to create or start to look after those? So, you know, my famous story is like one day I didn't know what to do. So dictionary off the shelf, whatever letter it fell on, I was going to pick 3 things beginning with that letter and I was going to do one of them. And that's what happened. I picked the letter P photographer, psychic, pianist, bought a baby grand piano, bought some tarot cards. On the Friday, paper come through, said photographer wanted, no experience necessary. I took that job, trained on,
wow.
Yeah, literally trained on film, worked with them for about 9 months, just as the digital change come on. I went and done my City and Guilds, and then 9 months I was wedding photographer, and that's how I got into networking, which then changed my whole life and got me to travel to places that I never thought I would go to. So again,
one of my favourite stories, that
I still got that dictionary. I mean, I just
bought a piano,
a baby grand on my husband's credit card. He does know about it.
Do you still have the piano?
No, because we downsized and we sold, but I still can't play the piano. But
you can take a photo of.
I can take a photograph. Yeah, I did all right at the old wedding photography. But again, then that market changed because I was working weekends, and then the market changed to all week.
Yeah.
And then it was just too much. One of my other businesses, you mentioned llamas earlier. that's very close to my heart, because one day I set up a business through Red Letter Days, walking llamas across the South Downs. This is true. And so we did the deal, and yep, that was it. So it's going to be corporates. Yeah, I didn't have any llamas, but I went to a networking event. No, I'm honestly, this is true. You're going to have to get to know me. I am telling the truth. I went to a networking event, and there was 20 people in the room, and I was like, look, I've got this business idea. I need some llamas, and I need some place to do it. And I remember Gino stood up, and he was like, my daughter has llamas, and we've got a field, and yet you can do that. Now, there's a story here. Well, there's a story. But the other story is, I went back to tell my family, who looked at me around the dinner and was like, what are you doing? That is mad. Yeah, don't do that. So I didn't. What a stupid idea that was. That llama line is worth a lot of money. That breed, this was before llamas and alpacas were prevalent in here. So if you've got an idea and it's in your gut and you think it's good, give it a go. You know, as long as you're not hurting anybody. So, yeah, anybody's got any llamas, I can come and stroke, or alpacas. I'm just, you know, I've got a llama pen. Anyway, that's a good thing.
That's an alarming story.
Oh, goodness me. Oh, goodness me. Colette and I have known each other for a few months now.
Yeah.
And we've been to networking events, I'll say this. Facts tell, stories sell. Yeah, I'm not sure whether that story is going to sell anything, but it is about who you are as a business owner. It's about your experience. You know, this is what is lovely to hear your backstories too, and what you want to do. So I'm going to ask you about the future, if I may. So we're just going to go to a quick ad, and then I'm going to ask these ladies about what they want for their goals, what is going to happen in this, because we're 1st of April today. So what is your next quarter going to look like?
Tired of business networking that feels like hard work? It shouldn't be a chore. It should be a chance to grow. Join the Synergy Business Community and connect with like-minded professionals right in your area. We provide the opportunities to boost your brand's visibility and growth without the stress. Stop wishing for better contacts. Start building them. Visit synergynetworkingevents.co.uk today or call us at 07769943756.
Do you need a reliable property management service or lettings agent? PJJS is a well-established property management and residential lettings company in Maidstone, Kent, which deliver an effective and efficient quality service. Call us now on +44 78 55 746 966.
Hello, Kent businesses. Tired of networking events that don't deliver? Synergy Networking Events has got you covered, whether you're a networking newbie or a seasoned pro. Our events make networking a breeze. Meet other businesses without the pressure. Enjoy pre-planned seating table moves and even a buffet. All for just £20 for non-members and £10 for members. Build relationships that last and get a result on your investment.
Welcome back, everybody. So we're going to talk about the next quarter. We've just had the first quarter in our businesses, and time for reflection, I'm sure, as the end of March comes. But as we move into April and the Easter holidays and hopefully some spring sunshine at some point, I think it's a good thing to talk about what we're planning for the future and what we would like that to be. So Alex, what do you think? I mean, is this coming into a busier time of year for you? Are you more seasonal?
Yes, so we are more seasonal. Our bookings tend to ramp up after the Easter holidays, when schools go back and the weather gets a bit better and we can get outdoors. So we are doing a lot of reward days with schools, and we will be doing our sort of seasonal recruitment for this year. And I suppose for us this year is a year of growing. We have set ourselves quite an ambitious goal to impact 1 million students by 2030. And we're at just over 500,000 at the moment.
Congratulations. So,
we're looking to, we want to grow. We want to be in more schools, working with more young people, and to really just keep going. And
so how can we help you? What's a good inroad for you? Because I'm sure you're in lots of schools, but I'm sure there's most probably some schools out there that you would still like to help, colleges and etc.
Yeah, so I think a big thing for schools at the moment, as we they lack funding for a lot of things, and we are looking to outreach to some businesses to hopefully sponsor some schools.
I like that idea.
In their local area, because essentially, like we spoke about before, it is potentially their future workforce that we're working with. So we're looking to try to help some schools get more funding behind them so that more young people can access the opportunities.
Yes, and I think that's where businesses definitely can step in. It's part of their corporate social responsibility. It's a really good thing to do, and I love that connection with this is their next workforce. This is, they should be going in and dealing with that. So I mean, that's a fantastic goal. That's lovely. So you're halfway there. Yeah, I love that. Let's make that happen. Colette, what's on the cards for you?
So a review of what I've done.
Yeah.
You know, the activity that I've put in, the other stuff that I've done, like marketing and networking and business development, candidate outreach, and really looking at that and thinking, how can I be more effective with my time? Because I can't sit for 8 hours, 5 days a week just doing outreach. So it's going to be a targeted approach to people that I want to work with. My target client list is not extensive, because I don't want to stretch myself where I can't then provide the right service to them.
And that's important.
It's really important. So it is work. It's going to be identifying and getting in front of like-minded businesses who are looking to recruit 4 or 5 people, and understanding the culture and where they're going and the training that they provide, so I can put the right people. So this is going to be about reviewing the last 3 months, and I'm going to do that every quarter, and I've been advised to do that every quarter.
Absolutely,
to review your activity.
It's so important, because in any stage of a business, it changes. And like Alex was just saying, you know, if you've got a seasonal business, that's a very different first quarter to what would be the others. You're going to ramp up, and for you, getting to know those businesses, because I know you get to know them so deeply. Yeah. You get to know them so you are literally part of their team culture.
Yeah, there's been a really interesting story, and it's disappointing. So I had a client, and I'll just, you know, the pitfalls are, there are pitfalls in recruitment. And, you know, I've had a business that I've been working with, and I worked really hard for them last year. And I won't say the whole story, but what I'm saying is I did a really great job for them, and I found them three quite tricky candidates. And I thought we'd got a really solid thing. I thought that I was definitely going to recruit. And they've behaved really badly towards me. And it's not personal. It is absolutely a business decision. So whilst, yes, that is a benefit, actually it's going to be much more about their business. I want to understand their business and look at how many people come through that business from an employee point of view. I'm going to work with people that I like.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to work with people that I like.
I think that's so important for you, isn't
very
it?
Very important. Yeah. If there was a team around me, it would be, it's a different thing. You can, because everybody's got a different approach, haven't they?
And so personality.
I might not like, you might like, and vice versa. So, yeah, I'm excited about the next quarter. So, there's going to be more networking. And more candidate speculative calling to a chosen network. So I'm going to get a candidate and I'm going to work with them to find a job.
I love that. It's such a great approach.
Yeah.
And Tania, what's up for you this quarter?
I think I'm going to start focusing a little bit more on culture change. I think I've missed it a little bit. So I've got one client, which in the next quarter I'll be delivering a training course on AI for agribusiness, which would be so much fun, really zooming into
agribusiness,
agricultural businesses. They're based, so I've been brought in by a like global company to deliver training for farmers essentially in East Africa. So I have to take them all the way from like, what is AI? Like, what actually is generative AI? And I'll try and talk them through how to actually automate their processes or their marketing processes. So I'll be focusing on doing a good job on that. But I think what I'd like to do more of that I've missed is culture change, maybe helping people with tricky cultures, maybe just a little bit more creative for me.
And the culture change thing is really important. I was talking to a lovely young business owner recently who had come into their family business, and mum and dad were pretending to retire, but that business had been built on their culture, and her culture was completely different, and she was really struggling with running the team and getting that change. And that is exactly where somebody like you would come in and help and support that business
owner. And TUPEs, if people are acquiring other businesses, and then you've got to get everybody working under the big umbrella company.
Oh, look, her little face is lit up. She's lighting up.
Because obviously accountancy, this is a real thing in this industry, isn't it? Mm. In accountancy, I've noticed clients I've been working with, a couple of them have been acquired by a bigger company, but you've got that piece, getting everybody
ready for that, because
that's really interesting.
That when you're talking about that, you're talking about not only bringing all those different systems coming in.
Mm,
yeah, no wonder your face lights up.
Yes, and I'm thinking even just keeping the people there. If it's keeping been acquired, the people are value in the acquisition and making them feel comfortable. So you don't actually lose the talent that you acquired the business for.
Because it's very, I mean, I've not been through that, but I can imagine that you've got 2-3 companies coming together, different people in different jobs. People are anxious, they're worried, they're concerned, they're not sleeping at night because they don't know, am I being replaced? What's happening? You know, the AI conversation goes on. And that for the owners of the business, they've obviously decided that's what they want to do, but they might not have the skills to come in, whereas you can come in and
it's time consuming as well, isn't it? It is, it definitely is.
With that lovely soft voice and like put everybody at their ease and, you know, calm them all down and come back with that open-eyed view of actually what's going on. And I can see where your training can definitely come into that, and that's where you shine. I must ask, you've got this opportunity, this contract to do this training with these farmers. Where did that referral come from? What is the line?
Like I said, I was just running a webinar. I got asked like just before Christmas to run a webinar. I said, of course, sure, let me do it. I put my heart and soul into that training deck. I didn't, it wasn't paid, it was for Enterprise Nation. I put my heart and my soul, I put lots of content, I was really bubbly and engaging. And then afterwards I got like lots of like LinkedIn connections, almost 30 of them, lots of lovely people messaging me, and this lady put time in my calendar. And I was like, this sounds like a scam.
here we go again. It's just like that award, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I had the conversation, and yeah, just signed that contract and getting started on the training decks. It's going really well.
Oh, congratulations. But, that's really great. Well,
very
random. That's made me go goosey. That has made me go goosey. And you know what you said? You said, I did that for free.
Yeah.
Okay. There is, you know, I talk about this book all the time, The Go-Giver. It's okay to do things for free. Yeah. If they align with you, if they feel right, if they're heart-led, which all sounds a bit woo-woo, but if you feel that's right, that's the right thing to do, then, you know, I mean, look, that, and that's a reflection piece as well, what you've just done, isn't it? That's like, I did that, this has happened. Sometimes we don't think where that connection has come from doing that. And I'm sure there's more to come, because if you've got all of that information out there, then I'm sure that's going to come. So is that going to be, are you going to be Zoom training? Are you going to be on Teams? Are you, how do you train East African farmers?
Zoom training, but I am hoping to go to Kenya. I really want to go to Kenya.
Have you set your intent to go to Kenya?
Yes, I have. I was Googling Zanzibar earlier. I know that's in Tanzania. Zanzibar, I was like, oh, that would be nice. Like, do the training and then like have a long weekend in Zanzibar on the beach. That would be,
Nice. I'm all for that. I'm all for that, making the most of your opportunities. And when you've been flown out somewhere to do something, then just make sure that you're getting the most of this. I just want to say thank you to all. That 2 hours has flown by. I hope it's flown by for our listeners too. But I've learned so much today. We've shared so much. Thank you for being so open and honest. And, you know, the one thing we haven't spoken about is the elephant in the room. What's going on with the dating? I mean, are we doing anything?
Well, we're hopeful.
We're hopeful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's hopeful. I'm hopeful. But I'm not sure of her techniques.
Haven't given up yet.
She's not. No. But you know what? We're running out of time. I can't believe this. We're going to have to do a whole new session on Colette and her dating. Okay.
Or maybe not.
No, we can definitely do something. And yeah, it's been absolutely great to have you all on. And I'm hoping that we've not only got connection, but we've started friendships, which is really important. So I'm just going to end now with a little advert, but stay with it a little bit longer, because I think you're going to like the end song, and Colette is definitely going to like the end song. So don't forget to join Linda next week and for another Business Network show. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Business Network Show, featuring Jill Russell of the Jill Russell Consultancy and Linda Cloak, founder of Synergy Networking Events.